Okay, it's Friday night. It's Saturday morning in Ireland. Let's go to Ireland now just for fun and see what Father Paul Kramer is up to. Hello, Father Kramer, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Pretty crazy out there. You sent me a story. I posted it a couple of days ago. It's very provocative. It's very logical. It's pragmatic. It's well written. Let me just read a little bit of this. This is kind of a, what would you call it, a commentary? Pretty much?
Yeah.
It's good. Trump admitted on the air in public at a video recorded some kind of a dinner they had together? I forget. It was a big room full of people. Trump admitted on the air to Mark Levin that he is a Jew. I don't know how you're going to process that. Do you believe it? It doesn't really matter. He couldn't be more Jewish in his behavior if he tried. He is a notorious Zionist. That's a fact. From the earliest days of the Catholic Church, the apostles and their disciples taught salvation is only for those who profess faith in Jesus Christ. They taught love for your enemies and followed Jesus' teachings to turn the other cheek if somebody hits you. The Jewish response was to condemn Christ to death and to kill his disciples, beginning with Saint Stephen, whom they stoned to death because they were enraged at him because he so deftly refuted all of their arguments. They spread the malicious lies that the early Christians were subversives who wanted to overthrow the empire, and their Eucharist, the sacrifice in which Christians offered the body and blood of Christ, which they ate and drank, was actually a perverse ritual of infanticide and cannibalism. Epstein, anybody? Emperor Nero's wife, Poppaea Sabina, is that how you pronounce it, or is it Sabina? Sabina? Poppaea Sabina?
Sabina.
Got it. Was a Jewish sympathizer who planted those Jewish lies in Nero's head, which resulted in the spreading of the murderous persecution of the church from the Levant to all of the Roman Empire. The Catholic Church consistently teaches that, for two millennia, that we must love the Jews, and to hate them is a sin. The Jews, for two millennia, instigate persecution of the church, but hypocritically claim that the Catholic Church is the cause of anti-Semitism and directs hateful attacks against the Jewish people out of anti-Semitic bigotry. As if when Christians defend themselves against Jewish attacks, it is they, the Christians, who are the attacking haters. The Jews have used Freemasonry to attack the Catholic Church and to instigate a reform of Catholic beliefs and practices that will abandon the dogma of extra ecclesium, nulla, I'm not good with Latin, no salvation outside the church is what they're saying, no salvation outside the church, and embrace an inclusive, there's that word, inclusive, DEI. Inclusive teaching that will accept all religions as good. So there we go. We'll stop right there. But it's a nice piece, and I put it up. There's a lot more to it. Trump, and I said it, could Trump possibly act more in favor of Jewish supremacy, Zionist Jewish supremacy, if he tried openly, which he is? Could he, in your view, do any more than he's done to support Jews and Israel? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. And it's very clear already, if you look carefully at what is being done to Iran, they're not trying to free Iran from a despotic tyrant.
Oh, no.
What they're...
This is, yeah.
The Israelis bombed school full of schoolgirls. They're not trying to build up that nation. They're trying to destroy the nation entirely. It's in the interest of the greater Israel. Israeli expansionism. I mean, I've heard about this since the 1970s. That is an ongoing agenda that they have. And they want to destroy the entire, all the culture and nations of the Gentile world. I'm not talking about normal Jewish people here. There are very decent Jewish people who value the culture of the nations and such. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about these radical Zionists who are not just Talmudists, but are Kabbalists. And the Talmud itself is entirely saturated with the ideology of Kabbalah, and that's not my personal opinion. It's in a book on Kabbalah written by a great Jewish scholar, Gershom Scholem. Those are his words, that the Talmud is entirely saturated with Kabbalah, and Kabbalah is a form of paganism. It's demonic. It is a Gnostic demonic cult that has been around since before the time of Christ. And it is that foul superstition which is at the base of Kabbalism, Gnosticism. It is a demonic, satanic form of perversion is all it is. And they are nihilists. They want to destroy everything. Karl Marx was a Satanist, and he was asked, why do you want to destroy all countries? And he said, because the emperor, because Titus, I think he was not yet emperor, he was a general at the time, Titus, in the year 70 AD, Titus destroyed my country, meaning Israel, which became the province, the Roman province of Judea. These people, and not all of them are Jewish, belonging to that particular nihilistic sect of Jews. Ordinary, decent Jewish people would call that a heresy, a sect, as like in the Catholic Church, when you consider something like the moon, the moon sect. That's not Christianity. That's something quite different than what we as Catholics would consider Christian. Just like the moon sect, they might claim to be Christian, but they're not. Well, these Kabbalists, they may claim to be Jewish, but they're not Jews. And this is the teaching of the sacred scripture of the New Testament, St. John the Apostle, who says, they say that they are Jews, but they are not Jews. They are the synagogue of Satan. And you see that twice in the writings of St. John the Apostle.
Sure.
So far be it for me to be anti-Semitic. Again, I'm proud of my ancestry, that I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm not ashamed of my Jewish ancestry at all. What I oppose is this foul sect that wants to destroy everything. They want to destroy every nation. They want to destroy every culture. And they want to set up their own satanic, devilish reign there over the earth. So, and that will bring in the rule of Satan over humanity. As Jesus Christ said, as he died on the cross, he said, and now the prince of this world is cast out. So the devil was the usurper of the throne. and he was cast out, and he wants to come back. He is envious of Christ the King. The angel declared to Mary that she would be the mother of the Christ, who would be the King, and his kingdom would be forever. That doesn't sit well with Satan. As God had told Lucifer, you will be cast out. You think you're higher than the heavens, you'll be cast out. He was cast out. And Jesus Christ said from the cross, and now the prince of this world is cast out.
Wow.
And in the ancient...
I'd never heard that before, ancient, Father Kramer. I'd never heard that. His final words, I'd never... No, didn't know that.
It's there in the gospel. And in the... Mm-hmm. In the ancient Latin translation, before St. Jerome's Vulgate translation, in the most ancient translation of the Old Testament, in the Psalm, we had a variant.
Do you guys think 9/11 was an inside job?
Where it says, "Behold, O Israel, thy King reigns from the tree." So, Christ our Lord was crucified on the cross, made from a tree, and he is by accomplishing the redemption of the human race from that tree, he cast Satan out from the throne he usurped and claims the throne over the kingship over the world and over the universe, over heaven and earth for himself as the incarnate eternal Son of God. That's the battle we're in. Those who want to destroy everything and restore the usurped throne to Satan, and those who are followers of Christ, who profess that he, as he said to Pontius Pilate, when Pontius Pilate said, "Art thou a king?" And he said, "Thou hast said it." Yes, he is the King.
Ah.
His throne mm-hmm. will endure forever. His mm-hmm. throne will endure forever. And those who are trying to destroy everything themselves are going to accomplish their own destruction.
Fitting, and let's hope that comes to pass. It's called karma in other dialects, so to speak. Not necessarily a religious one, but yeah, you reap what you sow. There's another way.
That's right.
One hopes, anyhow. There's not enough example of that in our world. People they seem to get away with more than they're ever held accountable for. There is no accountability anymore. No one's responsible. And how many are actually hung up and punished for what they've done wrong? And these wrongs are not small wrongs. Look at Gaza. Look what's happening in the West Bank now. Look at Ukraine. Zelensky, Zionist Jew, has sacrificed probably 2 million Ukrainians now, just butchered them in this war against Russia, which has gone on for 4 years. They lose 30,000 human lives in a weekend, some of them, the Ukrainian army. This is incredible. And will Zelensky be held accountable? I doubt it. Doubt it very much. What about Epstein? He's out. What about Ghislaine Maxwell? She's out. What about Tyler Robinson? Probably dead, replaced by a body double. Not the same guy. Look at the faces. Look at the moles on the faces. You'll see. Unless they get busy now and change them. It's not the same. Go ahead.
Yes. You mentioned Zelensky. And here in the European Union, we hear this absolutely brain-dead slogan, "We stand with Ukraine."
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
They stand with the Masonic globalist Zionist nihilists who want to destroy Ukraine and destroy every nation on earth. wage war on Russia so that we can all be destroyed by Russia in retaliation. Now,
yeah,
the propaganda is incredible. We still keep hearing that Ukraine is winning this war. Not only is Ukraine is not winning this war. I remember some time ago.
Now, sickening.
Recently, Putin came out publicly and made a threat. This is not something I haven't heard before, because he's been saying this in private before, and it's been reported that he said it in private. But now you can see him in video making this threat in public. And he's saying, what is happening in Ukraine is not a war. It is a surgical military intervention. We don't want to wage war on Ukraine. If the West, if Europe wants war, we'll give it to them. And if we wage war on Europe, there's going to be nothing left there to save. I don't remember the verbatim quote. I don't want to misquote him, but that's basically what he said. He'll hit Europe so hard, Europe's going to be gone. Europe will be reduced to stone ages, to rubble. And there's going to be massive death if Europe continues to support the aggression against Russia, using Ukraine as a staging area for the attacks against Russia. It's not Ukraine fighting Russia. It is the insane Western powers who are fighting Russia. It is the United States, it is the British, it is the French primarily who are fighting Russia using Ukraine. And they're going to pay the price, and they're going to pay a huge price for that if they don't cease and desist. And this is the ultimatum that Putin was giving to them. But they're insane. They're not listening. They think they can win a war that they cannot possibly win. They want war with Russia. They wanted it for a long time. The neocons, they were doing everything possible to wage a war against Russia, to create some pretext to wage war against Russia.
Europe continues to talk about engaging Russia in a hostile way. In a hostile way. They're talking now about sending European NATO troops to Ukraine. What else is new? They've had military advisors and troops there for years, probably all 4 years of the war. So I don't know. What is interesting to watch for me is how Russia and China are acting. China, mum. The only word we've gotten is from North Korea, that if any North Korean is killed in Iran, North Korea will be in the war. Nothing from Trump on that. No reaction. Putin, nothing, really. Nothing. Nothing of any consequence. And this war is being fought in his front yard. So I'm not sure what's going on there. We'll just wait and see. If Russia doesn't step in, and if Iran were to be taken down, what does that tell us about the control of international Zionist Jewry? It says that they control Russia, because Russia didn't do anything overtly to help Iran. Same with China. Now, they have sent things in there, and Putin did the other day say, allegedly, I can't confirm it, that they will do everything to make the U.S. and Israeli war against Iran impossible to win. That was their word, impossible to win. We'll see.
I don't know how this is going to end, except that when this whole series of wars ends, Israel itself is not going to exist as a state. Israel is going to accomplish its own destruction. That's what they're headed to, and they don't.
Well, it deserves it. It deserves to be out of here. It's also, I think many of you may remember, it has been called, Tel Aviv in particular, the pedophile capital of the world. That's an evil, evil venue, that country. They do terrible things. Nothing new is old news. And I'm just concerned that their control may be more virulent and widespread than even I think. Russia has said nothing. China, less. It's very concerning. If their control is as widespread as it may well be, this is the planet Zion. Let's just be honest.
Well, we'll have to observe. I think that behind the scenes, Russia is not going to let the United States win this war. I can tell you that. I'm sure of that.
I would agree with you. I agree. Yes.
There's a former CIA analyst. His name is McGovern, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about, this was like more than 15 years ago, I remember, he was talking about that group in the United States State Department these neocons that they called the crazies, and their ringleader was a man named Paul Wolfowitz.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's of the same tribe as Netanyahu. These people were wanting to have a war with Russia. I mean, this goes back some time now.
Right.
And they're going to get their war with Russia very soon. But after the United States loses the war with Iran. Because after this war is lost, the Islamic world is going to be emboldened, and they're also going to want revenge. And the Iranians are going to be involved in a military assault on Europe. And you're going to see an invasion, a military invasion of Europe. And from Northern Africa, they are going to invade Italy. And, of course, in other countries, places like France, in Germany, especially in England, you already have a fifth column waiting to create chaos in those countries, because you've got a large Muslim population of military-aged young men.
Sure.
So it's going to get very messy here on this side of the ocean.
I don't know how it cannot. I agree. And you have, remember, how many are in Europe now and in the UK? How many Muslims? Millions. When the bell rings, what are they going to do? If the bell rings and they're instructed to attack white Europeans, there'll be attacks. They're very dogmatic people. I don't know. This is not good. None of it's good. And I think there's a very good chance by this summer, several more months, 3 months, 4 months, certainly by the beginning of fall, this world is going to be in a shambles. A shambles. Certainly this country, I expect, will be in a shambles.
What's happening now in Iran is not about Iran. It's not about the Ayatollahs. It's not about the oppression of the Iranian people. No, it has nothing to do with that. I've forgotten the name. A former Israeli prime minister came out and said the next target will be Turkey. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, Turkey. I saw that. Yeah.
And this is very interesting. Now, so this Israeli former prime minister brings up the topic of Turkey. Now, I remember just about 50 years ago, that's not yesterday, I'm talking about 50 years ago, I was in Rome, and I was listening to, I think it was Austrian radio, if I'm not mistaken, or the German Deutsche Welle or Austrian radio, I can't remember one of those two. I think it was the Austrian radio. They were interviewing a Turkish sociologist. And the Turkish sociologist said, Well, I don't think it was quite 50 years ago, because it was, I think it was after the, it was during that time frame, about 50 years ago, yeah. They were talking, when there was the Islamic terrorism, the blowing up, the shootings at the European airports and such by Arab terrorists. And the Turkish sociologist said, Turkey is the most westernized, most democratic, westernized country in all of the Islamic world. But when the day comes that the Islamic clerics, the muftis or whatever they call them, when they go up into the minarets and they make the call for jihad, all of us, we will all, to a man, drop what we're doing and wage jihad. He's talking about the most liberalized, democratized country in all the Islamic world,
yeah.
Turkey.
Yeah.
And now this former Israeli prime minister says our next target is Turkey. So much for wanting to free the Iranian people from oppression.
Please. Yeah, I know. Turkey has the fourth largest military, I think, in the world, or certainly in Europe. It's huge. They have a lot of technology. It's a very proud country. It's kind of like a Iran light. They have a lot of things going for them.
They don't want to build a stable, democratic, westernized regime in Iran. No matter what Trump says, this is baloney. It's rubbish. What they want to do is make a failed state. Look what they did in countries like Libya, Afghanistan, what they've done in Iraq. Just create total disorder and chaos. They want to do the same thing now to Iran. You're going to see what they want to create a wilderness. They want to destroy the civilization. They want to destroy these ancient civilizations and replace them with a more primitive form of society, forms of society.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been going through all these countries in northern, not just northern Africa, but throughout the Middle East, trying to destroy one after another and just reduce them to barbarism. And you always have the most radical criminal regimes taking their place. So now when Trump says he's demanding unconditional surrender, and he tore up the agreement, the nuclear agreement that the Iranians had reached with the United States.
Mm-hmm.
The intentions become clear. Together with what the Trump regime is saying and what the Zionist regime in Israel is saying, their objectives are clear. They want to annihilate the nationalities, the civilizations. They want to just bulldoze all of that, because if they destroy everything, it's easier for Israel to take over and create the greater Israel.
Oh, you bet.
Because
yeah,
it's in their Talmud. It's in their Talmud that they are the ones who must rule all of the nations, and that the Gentiles are little beasts, and they must be this. They must be the slaves of the Jews. Now, many Jewish people will find that teaching offensive. They don't follow that, but that is the official teaching of the Talmud. That is Talmudism. I wouldn't even dignify that book by calling it Jewish. It is Talmudism. It is not the Judaism of what was called Jewish in Old Testament times. when the sacred scriptures speaks of the Jews, it's talking about the religion of the patriarchs and the prophets, not of these devil worshippers who have usurped their place after the coming of Christ, who is their king.
I don't know what to say. You're right. I also don't understand how they expect to come back into this country through legislation, through government backdoor agreements, whatever, and somehow reverse the sentiments of the majority of America now that Israel is not a good place, not a good government, and is guilty of obvious, grievous crimes against humanity. That's the view of the majority of Americans now, which is good. How do they think they're going to reverse that? Through complete domination of the media? Well, they'll try. They've got a pretty good handle on it now, but it's not going to change people's minds. About 70% of Americans realize now that the Jews are the problem. They look at Gaza, they look at the West Bank, they look at the bombing of Lebanon right now and the capture of pieces of Lebanon. They look at Syria, where the Jews had a lot of military in Syria. I'm not sure if they're still there or not. Look what they did last June in the 12-day war against Iran. Look what they're doing now. 6 trips in 12 months to the White House by Netanyahu to tell Trump what to do, basically. No, Trump didn't tell him. You got it backwards if you believe that. So the problem is Israel and Judaism in the, not the religious sense necessarily, although the Talmud is pretty damn ugly, but you have to look at the bigger picture. Who's behind the trouble? Whose footprints are always there? If you look, it's the same people. 17 million in the whole world, and look at the trouble. Look at the grief. Look at the agony and anguish they cause. And I'm not saying they're all that way. We'll go on record again. We always say the same thing. They're not. But if the bell rings and they're called upon to answer, to serve, what are they going to do? Most of them, 95%, will answer the bell and serve the interests of whatever you want to call it, the Jewish state. They will serve. And they'll do anything. Same with the Arabs. The Islamists are going to, 95% will answer the bell and do what they're told. I don't know. This is not a good situation, Father Kramer. It's not getting better either.
Like you mentioned, even Jewish authors, I say that they're ashamed of some of the things that are in the Talmud. The Zionists are the problem. And this idea of Christian Zionism, of course, is a contradiction in terms. You cannot be a
absolutely
Christian and a Zionist.
We need to address that. Very good. I'm glad you brought that up. It's absolutely a contradiction in terms. 100%.
Now, these Talmudists, these Zionists, they are described by the Apostle, St. Paul. I quoted the chapter and verse the last time I was on, where the Apostle says that they have made themselves adversaries contrary to all men. They are the adversaries of all men.
That's a very fair statement. There's nothing, I think, nothing out of balance about that. It's correct. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
There is this sect, this cult, that calls itself Christian Zionists, and I mentioned more about this the last time I was on. But this cult of so-called Christian Zionists have taken over the White House. You have and you have people like Pete Hegseth talking in apocalyptic terms. This is not Christianity. There are Christians all over the world who think differently. Orthodox Christians, Catholics. There are evangelical Christians who are not Zionists by any means. Even Martin Luther wrote a book called The Jews and Their Lies. He was no Zionist. So not just Catholics, but Christians in general, those who have some sense of understanding the gospel precepts, what God expects in obedience from those who would follow Christ, we cannot accept Zionism, because Zionism is opposed to Christianity. It is radically opposed to Christianity. It is the adversary. And yet, we have in the White House, they're pushing this Zionism, and this they want to reform Christianity with a perverted form of an anti-Christianity that is of Zionist stripe. And that brings to mind to me what Pope John Paul II had said when he, in 1976, before he was Pope, after the Eucharistic Congress in Philadelphia in 1976, he then went to New York to the Kosciuszko Foundation, and he gave an informal talk. He spoke in Polish. And one of the listeners there recorded it and translated it word for word. And he said, "I don't think the American people and people in general understand that what juncture of history we're at. We're at that point where we're in this. It is this time of the struggle between" the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel. The anti-gospel. Those are the words of Pope John Paul II. I quoted verbatim in an article that I wrote on the state of the church after the death of Pope Benedict XVI. I believe it can be found on the internet if someone will search for it. But those were his words. And that anti-gospel is Zionist. It is Gnostic. It is Zionist. And it is now taken over the White House and the Department of Defense, which Hegseth calls the Department of War. So he's so much glorifying war. He's going to reap the reward of glorifying war, because unfortunately, it's going to result in a devastating war that's going to reduce the United States to a heap of rubble, like Germany after the Second World War. That's going to be Trump's legacy: the destruction of the United States of America. Right. That's what Trump is going to accomplish. That's what these insane Zionists are going to accomplish for our country.
All right, very good. I don't see using the word accomplish in the same sentence with the word Trump. It doesn't fit. What has he accomplished? He's achieved evil. Accomplish usually has a positive connotation. Not this guy. What has he done? We have no munitions left to speak of. We think we're going to be able to go to Taiwan's aid if China wants to attack. Now's the time. We don't have it. We don't have interceptors. We don't have the right munitions. We don't have guided bombs left. What the Americans are doing now, and I know that we gave guided bombs, JDAMs, J-D-A-M-S, to the Jewish Air Force. They're probably out of them. We don't have any left, so what are we doing? We're dropping random 2,000-pound bombs on Tehran now. We don't have guided munitions. The JDAMs makes a sound. They make a sound like a jet when they're coming in. It has wings. It's a bomb. It's dropped, and it's guided into a target. Very accurate. Very deadly weapon. We don't have any more. We don't have any more Patriots. As I've said several times, we're taking now Patriot missile batteries away from South Korea, who have bought them in the past for their own defense. We're taking them back. THAAD, THAAD missiles, interceptor missiles. We're taking those back, too, from South Korea. I'm not saying we're taking all, but we're taking a substantial amount because we don't have any. We don't have any. So we have, this country has been looted and emptied of its military munition reserves, its inventory, because most of it went to Ukraine. And the rest went to the Jews in Israel to kill more people, especially in Gaza. 95% of the buildings in Gaza are rubble now. They didn't get that way from an earthquake. We bombed them and bombed them and bombed them. We did that by giving the Jewish IDF these weapons. We did that. Trump is a full participant. So was Biden in the genocide of 300,000 to 500,000 people in Gaza. And the fighting continues right now. Well, it's not fighting when one side can't fight back, so it's not fighting. They're just it's a genocide. That's all. Go ahead.
They're bombing Beirut too.
Absolutely. I mentioned that. Yeah, I mentioned Lebanon. They were in Syria. They had tanks in Syria. They were killing people in Syria. Lebanon. Yemen. I don't know how many bombs they dropped on Yemen. Now we're watching them ostensibly fight against Iran. They're killing Iranians. And pay attention, though. Guided bombs, critically important for accuracy in war. JDAMs. We don't have any left, apparently. Maybe a few in the warehouse, but they're dropping 2,000-pound bombs all over the place now.
And they're bombing the places where you have the most open-minded, liberalized people, like Tehran.
Correct.
And it's out in the countryside where they're not bombing is where you have the most Islamic radical Islamism in those places. So this is not going to help their alleged agenda of regime change. What it's doing is making the regime in Iran retaliate, and they close the Strait of Hormuz. They are destroying oil installations throughout the Middle East now, and the price of energy in Europe is rising, not daily, hourly. The price of energy is rising hourly. Now, this is going to collapse the economy here. 2 days before the bombing started, I went to the butcher shop and I bought a T-bone steak. And the important thing that I have to mention about this is that I noticed that to buy that one T-bone steak, I had to pay what I used to pay for two T-bone steaks. And that's before the bombing started. Now, prices are just going through the roof. Pretty soon, we're not going to have food here. We're going to have starvation.
We could easily have that and more very, very soon. The first big nation that steps in to the Iran war, literally steps in with munitions, men, arms, bombs, everything changes. It's wide open from there on. Nobody's in yet, nobody big, but the North Koreans would certainly play a very big role if they could manage to get their assets delivered to Iran. It's a bit late. Anyway, you're right, all the way. T-bone steaks. Trump is talking about the price of gas going up. Let me rephrase that. Somebody asked him about, well, the price of gas has gone up 50 cents a gallon. He said, I don't care. And the truth of the matter is, he shouldn't care. Who is the world's number one oil producer? The United States. It's America. Number one. Look it up. We have more petroleum than we could ever even dream of using. There should be no price issues involving gasoline or oil in this country. It's absurd how much oil is here.
They've been hiding that from us for a long, long time, because I remember back in the 70s, they had the so-called oil crisis, and that was entirely fake. And there was a book written by Lindsay Williams called The Energy Non-Crisis, and that explained everything way back then in the 70s.
Oh, Lindsay was a great friend of mine, and this program he was on for many, many years. Yes, yes, he knows. He told me that there is an island up in Alaska, in the north of Alaska. I forget the name of the sea it was in.
Gull Island. Gull Island, I believe.
More oil under Gull Island than in all of the Middle East. One place. That was the word. He knew. He was there.
And that's only one oil field, because across the line of demarcation where they weren't going to drill anything, there's more. There's a lot more there.
Good for you for knowing that. Yeah. Yep. We live in a country that has an alleged government that literally does nothing but lie to one degree or another, or the lie of omission. It just doesn't tell us. I've never seen a more depraved, perverted, low-life group of losers anywhere in alleged government responsibility positions. This is a terrible, terrible thing that's going on here. It's awful.
And then let's not forget Wrangel Island, that George Bush Sr. Illegally handed over to the Russians.
Right, right, exactly.
Wrangel Island, there's plenty of oil up there, and that's part of the state of Alaska. You can't make a treaty and give that to another country. That's part of an American state.
Yeah.
The state has sovereignty over that land. The federal government cannot chop off part of a state and hand it over to a foreign country, but that's what George Bush did.
Absolutely correct. What do you think we're going to see here? Now Trump is saying, well, looks like we better get ready for a war that's going to go to the end of September. Maybe longer than that. That's a big shocker compared to what he was boasting about earlier. 3 to 4 weeks. So they know now that I see the U.S. losing. I do. And there are things going on behind the scenes now, monumental things, big things, huge power currents are being directed, discussed behind the scenes that you'll never hear about. Okay? And that's between Russia, China, Pakistan. The U.S. is out of the game. Anyway, what are your thoughts on, we just have a minute left. What are your thoughts?
You just touched upon the real reason why Russia and China are so silent, because they are acting quietly, but yet the war in Afghanistan, remember that lasted 21 years, and Trump didn't say that we're going to get into a non-ending war, an endless war, but that's what this is, and it's going to end up disastrous. And meanwhile, we're getting a surveillance state being set up in the United States. We're having a currency reform that is going to give us a digital currency that's programmable currency. That means you can't spend money anyway unless you are approved by the government according to your social credit score to spend it the way the government will allow you to do it. They are remodeling American society according to the model of communist red China. That's what Trump is doing.
The technocracy. You're correct. A communist Bolshevik technocratic surveillance state. That's where we are. We're heading there. We'll be there.
That's exactly where we're heading. That's exactly Very where sad. We're heading. And that is what the Zionists have been aiming for all along. And that's what Trump is doing. Just like what the Zionists went into Russia and overthrew the monarchy and set up the Soviet Union. That's what they're doing in the United States of America now. And people think that Trump is an anti-communist. This is communism. It's in the Rakovsky interview. Rakovsky spoke of Stalin's Comintern, And he said the true communism is the Kappen term, New York, the Kappen term. Not the common term of Moscow, but the Kappen term of New York. They imported communism into Russia, and now it is being implemented under the Trump regime. The rule of the bankers. The golden rule. He who has the gold rules.
Got it. Very good. All right, Father Kramer, thank you. We have to roll here. Take care. Be safe. Enjoy your T-bone steak again at some point, because there's going to come a time when you won't be able to get them, I'm afraid. That's where we're headed. All right. Have a good weekend. Talk soon.
Bye now.
Father Paul Kramer, and that's it for Friday. Have a good weekend. Take care. Prepare. Enjoy the programs for what they're worth. The website has the best quality news I can get for you, but do hesitate before passing judgment on any story now. Whatever they claim, cut it in half. How about that? All right. We'll be back Monday. In the meantime, the network will continue all through the weekend. Take good care. We'll talk on Monday.